mental illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Okay, the weather this weekend, if you're outside today, you see it's gorgeous. It's going to be sunny in 87. Tomorrow's going to be mostly sunny and 88. Sunday's going to be 90 degrees and sunny. And Monday's going to be 92 and mostly sunny. So we're not even looking at a chance of rain until next Wednesday. So it looks like we have a beautiful week ahead of us. And let's count our prayers because the rest of the country is not surviving so well. I just saw in the news that California is looking at triple digits again. They're fighting forest fires already again and brush fires. And so I think we got to take it for granted. Get out. The Bloom Fest starts today, I think, out in Bloomsburg there. So if you're not doing anything, get in the car, go down there, and have a good time. I've been there once in probably 20 years, and I enjoyed it tremendously. And the Blooms probably would be really up there. It would be a good week for them, a good weekend for them to fly. So see if you can make it out there. We'll be right back with Ben Jampel from Weikert. So hang on 1 second.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
All right, we're back. My guest today is Ben Jampel from Weikert Realty in Flemington. So welcome, Ben. Maybe you can open up, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do over there at Weikert.
Sure. Well, first off, thanks for having me, Larry. So I'm an agent at the local Weikert in Flemington. And, I help people with a lot of different aspects of the real estate transaction. But first and foremost, my favorite things are helping first-time home buyers get into a house. And also helping individuals sell a home, whether they are relocating within the area or moving out of the area. I really enjoy getting to know the family, why they're moving, and then help facilitate it.
So, I've taught sales for many years. I was a VP of sales in the corporate world for many years. And people think that sales is you're selling something, but you're really a consultant, are you not?
No one is buying a house they don't want. You know, I'm not selling anyone a house that they don't want. You know, this isn't a pressure sale where, you know, you may go into the dealership and walk out with a fancy car because you love the way it looked. You know, this is the most important transaction of people's lives. So you're going to help facilitate it and give them all the information so they're able to make an informed decision.
Sure. I had a friend this weekend who she's a realtor. And she's been out of it for a while. She's getting back into it, and her husband's a realtor. And she says, well, you know, I don't know if I like sales. I'm thinking, you're a people person. This woman is a perfect people person. I said, don't think of it that way. I said, I've taught sales for so long, and it's not sales. I used to teach a course called Everybody's in Sales.
Sure.
I mean, you got kids, you're in sales. You got parents, you're in sales. It's really a negotiation. It's a consulting. It's a listening. Somebody once said to me that, you know, the realtor, I bought my house in 3 houses and, you know, I had to pay that commission. I'm like, well, you should have paid double. I said, that agent did their job. I said, they found a house that you loved and you wanted to buy with 3 visits.
Sure.
I guess they listened to you.
Yeah.
Because they went back and they listened to what you wanted, what was important to you. They looked at the inventory. And they found the right house. You didn't have to go to 20 of them to find the right one. And they were like, never thought of it that way.
Sure. Yeah, I see myself as a facilitator.
Right.
You know, I'm going to listen, and then I'm going to find, and then we're going to work through the transaction together.
Yeah. And people say, well, you know, real estate may be going away with the internet and everything else. But I can tell you, I do house inspections, and I look at Zillow, and I look at the house. I say, oh, God, it's going to be a good house. I get there, and my God, it's a house from hell. I mean, it's amazing what the pictures don't tell you.
Yeah, the photographers for real estate in this area especially are very good.
Yeah, at showing the right side and the lighting. And it's not that they're lying. It's just they're very good at you know, you don't appreciate the technology. I mean,
sure.
and I think that's, you know, important to understand. That's why you're counting on a realtor. And if a realtor doesn't listen to you, then find another realtor.
Without question. Yep.
I mean, it's just like a doctor.
And also along those lines, if you feel like your realtor is trying to sell you on buying a specific house, you should find another realtor.
Right.
They should be able to answer all the questions you have, be able to negotiate in your behalf. But you should never be able to feel like you're being sold by your realtor.
Good. And that's important because, you know, my business, my clients are home buyers.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of my customers are realtors because
sure.
you get the introduction to the people through the realtors. People are new to the area. They don't know anybody. And they say, well, who can I get for a home inspection? And then they usually give them a couple names. And so that's important for me to understand. And I tell people my best inspection tool is a good realtor.
Sure.
Because if you've done the job and you've identified the house and you've placed the value where it should be, then it's easy for me to describe the house.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest problem I got is when I show up and like the chimney's falling down, and I show them the chimney's falling down, and they look at me and say, "Oh my God, I've never seen that."
Right.
Now I'm in for a long inspection because if they didn't see that already and they didn't know the value of the house, and again, it's a value proposition. You know, I said to somebody, I bought my house, I put windows, siding, roof, and 3 bathrooms and a kitchen in it before I moved in.
Sure,
but I paid $100,000 less than market. So guess what? It was a great deal.
Absolutely.
It's not a great deal if you're playing market and you got to put $100,000 into it the day you want.
No.
So, you know, you mentioned, I mean, I've always been the one to ask this because I actually visit open houses. That's how I meet some agents. I go around and sometimes I bring a goodie bag, a cold bottle of water and a couple
sure,
snacks
sure.
because it's a long day.
Stop by mine anytime.
You know, I've never had anybody turn it down, actually. You know
sure.
that? And
I'm
even
sure.
if they have their own snacks out, this is a little different because I'll bring the Kit Kat bar and the water and, you know, and my card. And we talk. And you know, I disappear as soon as if somebody walks in the door, I disappear because business is business.
Sure.
But I introduce myself as a home inspector. And then just so they get to know you because it's important that they have to work in a relationship. But, you know, there are many times I go to home inspection and they're watching the paint dry.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a valuable proposition still?
Yeah, no question about it. You know what? I actually have clients that ask me this all the time. You know, and their thought is, well, everyone looks at Zillow, you know, and then everyone sees it. I'm more speaking for if someone I'm going to be listing their house. And they're telling me, well, you know, why do we want all these people in our house at one time? And I said, well, here's the thing. This is my plan. You know, we're going to list your house on Monday or Tuesday. We're going to do a delayed showing. What does that mean, they ask? I said, well, that means that we're not going to allow anyone to see your property until a specific date. That specific date is going to be on Sunday when I'm going to hold the first open house. What is that going to do for you? Well, it's going to do a few things. First off, the first week it's on the market, you're not going to be inconvenienced by having to leave your home a single time. You know, we're going to invite everyone to that first open house. Everyone's going to be, if your home is priced properly, everyone's going to be trying to get in earlier. You know, and the last house that I listed that I did this for, I had no less than 10, maybe 12 different agents try to get me to break the rules and allow them in early. And if you allow one in early, you have to allow them all in early. So, you know, I said no. And what happened was 39 groups ended up coming to the open house on Sunday. Yeah. It was a tremendous turnout. It's not necessarily typical numbers around here, but, you know, it was a beautiful home, priced properly, and, you know, it was a funnel effect. So the first benefit was my clients didn't have to leave the house 20 to 30, 40 times even that first week.
Right.
You know, they enjoyed not having to leave with their 2 kids and their elderly grandmother that was living with them. And bring their dog.
You know, I never thought of that in a way, though. Even if you get a dozen people,
sure,
that's a dozen times you'd have to leave your house for an hour or two.
Absolutely. Those people
versus
are going to come
see. Having them in a three-hour window.
Yes.
It's a lot easier to leave Saturday afternoon from 1 to 4 than it is to leave 12 times during the week.
Yep, no question about it. The second benefit is, you know, it's kind of like a funnel. You know, so we had 39 people come there. Any time that one person was there, you know, no one stayed more than 20, 30 minutes. But when they were there, they were seeing at least 10 other groups. And the psychological effect of that is, you know, if we want this house, wow, we need to move now, and we need to come with our best offer. You know, the client that ended up actually purchasing the house, you know, I always tell my clients, you know, we want people bumping into each other, you know, in this open house. We want it that busy. And I literally saw someone bump into the buyer right in front of my face. And I saw the look because her realtor was also there that brought her. And she explained to me that they had put in a few offers on homes that they really liked. They hadn't gotten it. And it, this, as soon as they walked through the door, they knew this was their home. But I saw almost a look of, I guess, trepidation in her face when someone bumped into her, like, oh, no, it's going to happen again. So when they made their offer, you know, it came in, and it was substantially over asking price.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree with you with the bump in principle, because if you go there, you don't see a soul for 30 minutes.
Absolutely.
You start thinking, what does everybody else know about this house that I don't?
Yep.
I mean, yep. You actually have the opposite effect, right?
You know,
I mean,
and there will be other agents that, you know, when I'm sitting down for a listing presentation, they say, well, I interviewed another agent at a different agency, and they told me, you know, that that this is kind of the way of the past, that it's all online marketing, which is absolutely important. I believe in it as much as anyone. My response to that is, it sounds like a lazy agent. Well, sounds like a lazy agent that doesn't want to take their Sunday afternoon and devote it to selling your house.
Sure. Well, and I can tell you that seeing it is different than seeing it online.
Like
we talked about before, I also encourage people. I said, listen, bring a notepad and take notes. You think you're going to remember the house.
Sure.
I mean, I take 300 pictures plus on an inspection. Some of that's not because of this thing's 300 things wrong.
Sure.
It's to remember the house. Because a week from now, I'll get a call and saying, you know, that tub, there was no shutoff for that. And I go back and I can say, well, you know, here's the shutoff. It's underneath the toilet and there's a panel there.
Sure.
Because I won't remember it. Because all the bathrooms look alike. You look at 10 houses, you're not going to remember one from the other.
Absolutely.
So, and today with the digital camera, I encourage people to take pictures with your cell phone and take notes.
Yeah, no, without question. Without question.
It's also a lot easier when you do decide to buy it. If you tell me things that you're concerned about or things that you've seen, I liken it. I give the examples, and I'm big on analogies because I think people understand it.
Sure.
I say, when you go to your doctor, how many times, and it's happened to me, I want to talk to my doctor about my back or my hip, my pain in my leg or something. And you finally get into the doctor, and you waited 12 weeks for the stupid appointment, and you get in there, and he's in there for like 12 and a half minutes, and he leaves, and you didn't ask him any of your questions because you didn't write them down. And when he says, well, what else is bothering you? And you're like, oh, no, I feel great, you know, and then he leaves, and you're like, oh, my back, you know. I say the same thing. You know, you go in the house, write it down because then you can ask the agent later or you can ask other people, especially if it's about the house. And I joke when I tell people spend less time in a house they're going to buy than a car they're going to buy.
Unfortunately, I think you're right.
and you know, when you're in somebody's house also, you're not going to pry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I pry.
Sure. That's your job, so I hope so.
You know, and people should realize when you get in a house inspection, we're looking at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some things that, you know, that are unmentionable in the sense that you're like, why wouldn't you put that away if you know I'm coming?
Right.
Why can't I get to the attic access? You know, they know I'm coming. I'm going to climb through their closet. All their clothes are going to get dusty. Why don't they move their clothes so I don't do that? And I try to cover it. I have tarps and all that, but still. I'm going to climb into your attic through a 2x2 hole in your closet over top of your suits, you know. You know, it's going to get dirty.
Sure. Sure.
And we're going to look at everything. So, I mean, that's interesting because, I mean, I always wondered about that, because somebody has said that, well, that's the old way.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, you can't feel a house. I mean, and also the rooms. I mean, the lenses they use, the fisheye.
Absolutely.
You know, it looks like open concept, but then you get there and you realize that, you know, I call that the restaurant principle. You'll laugh, but my wife laughs at me all the time because I'll be in a restaurant, there'll be a chair and a wall, and I think there's plenty of room to get by there, and I start to go through there. She goes, you're not going to try to get through there, are you? Because by the time I'm halfway through, I'm knocking the guy out of his chair because, you know, I'm a little wider than I thought I was. But, you know, and I think it's the same thing in the house. It looks great on the lens, but then when you go up the stairs and you like realize it's really tight and you're never going to get your king-size bed up the staircase.
Yeah, no question about it. No question about it.
Yeah,
and one other thing I tell my clients is I said, you know, my job is to know your house better than anyone besides yourselves, you know. And if we're just letting any other agent into your house to show the property, which is going to happen after the first showing, I said, I'm not going to be there. And I'm not going to be able to advocate, you know, for your behalf. They might flip a switch and say, oh, wow, look, the lights aren't working when, you know, they are using the wrong switch. They're not going to know the upgrades like I know the upgrades. You know, they're not going to be able to showcase your home to the best of their abilities. It's just another home for them. You know, for me, it's my client's home that I'm trying to market.
So, I mean, that goes back to something you just said about showcases. That part of your job, too, is to showcase it to the caravan.
Absolutely.
And for people that don't know, the caravans, when the realtors go out in a group and they tour the houses that are newly listed.
Yes. Yeah,
and that's your opportunity to educate them on the house.
Absolutely.
Especially
Absolutely.
The special features of it if they're not readily available.
Yep.
I mean, if you don't know that this thing has a smart system, you might want to show it to them.
Sure. Yeah, and one thing I do that most agents don't is I actually will make placards up, and I'll leave them around the house highlighting, you know, what type of granite this is, different upgrades, you know, the Brazilian hardwood floors. And I'll leave these all over the house. One house I had, I counted almost 50. It was an extremely custom home. And, you know, I left those out even for showings, you know, because when I'm there, I still use them because it was a point of reference. But I pretty much had it all memorized. However, if someone else was coming in and I wasn't going to be there, that other agent wasn't going to know these
things. But it's also going to just generate conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think that's a great idea. I've seen the placards, and I haven't seen them like that too much. But, I mean, I've seen them where I like the last one I was at. It said, there's a bi-level, and it said second attic access in the second bedroom. And sure. It says lift and move it to the right. Made it a lot easier for me
absolutely.
To get into that attic. And, you know, and it also made me less mess than everything else.
Absolutely.
Hey, we're going to hit a couple commercials, but we'll be right back with I got a lot more questions for you because this is an interesting I didn't think it would go down this way, but it's actually opened up a lot of questions for me. So we'll be right back. Hang on a couple of minutes.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back. This is Larry McEntee from Home Team. This is Home Time with Home Team, and then we're in the Hunterdon County Chamber Radio Station. My guest today is Ben from Weikert, and we're talking about homes. And you know, one of the things you talked about is why is pricing the house so critical? And I got some questions for you that because I have a brother-in-law whose father's trying to sell a house, and he's going against the realtor's advice. And I try to explain to him why you don't want to do that. But maybe you can give your knowledge on that.
I mean, the easiest way to understand is you never get the first 30 days back. You know, the first 30 days you're on the market is the highest your house is ever going to sell for. And, you know, I'll have conversations with people all the time. You know, say I never like to recommend a set price. I'll give a range of where, you know, I think it should be because ultimately it does have to be up to the homeowner to make that determination on their own. But I'll give a range, and a lot of people's first reaction is say 350 to 360. They'll say, oh, well, I would like to try 365. And I said, you know, we can try anything you want. I said, but here's what happens. You know, if it doesn't sell, you know, we can get lucky. And if you get lucky, nothing's better than good luck, right? But counting on good luck is a losing proposition. So if we don't get lucky, what happens is, you know, we have some showings, probably don't have any offers, and 30 days go by. Then we have to have a tough conversation. You know, if you've been having showings but no offers, it means your house is about 5% overpriced. However, if you're not even getting any more showings at this point and there's no contract, no offers coming in, it means your house is 10% overpriced. And every other realtor out there knows this and is coaching their clients that, you know, this is the conversation they're having. We're going to wait till the price gets dropped after 30 days because we're going to be discussing it. You know, we don't get those first 30 days back, but you also don't get the second 30 days back either. Right. And
you don't get any days back.
No, you don't.
Unless you figure out how to do that.
Yeah. But you know what? Once we've dropped that price, then you might be saying, well, we're going to drop it to where you said anyway, then we're still going to get the same amount of money, right? No, you're not. Typically, someone else is going to now make an offer, hopefully, if you've dropped it enough. And they're not going to offer you full asking. You know, they see you chasing the market. As long as they have a good agent on the other side, they're going to be telling you, let's come in at least 5% under that number.
And then even I learned with my father's house who passed away, and it was an estate sale with me and my four sisters. And, you know, you can say you get your price, but you still lost 3 months' worth of expenses and taxes and mortgage.
I mean, the carrying costs alone.
We were saying it was, you know, $2,300 a month. Mm-hmm. To carry the house, and that was just the mortgage and the insurance.
Sure.
I mean, the mortgage insurance and the taxes.
Yeah.
So 3 months was $8,000. I mean, guess what? The guy was, you know, offers $5,000, and we're waiting here. We're not going to accept that. I'm like, why not?
Absolutely.
Because closing is still 60 days out, so we still get another 2 months on top of that.
Sure.
So people don't add up all the true costs, and I think that's the agent's job to explain that to them,
absolutely,
right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? At the end of the day, I can explain myself as well as possible, you know, and I can think no stones have been unturned. However, at the end of the day, it's your house. You know, right. You are going to be making, you know, the price.
Let me ask you something. Would you take a house, enlist it, and take it under contract if it's unreasonably they were going to unprice it unreasonably, even though you knew it was unreasonable?
It's a great question. If it's a little overpriced, I would. If it's, you know, if I think this house can sell for $500,000 and they want me to list it for $625,000, no, I'm not going.
Because you're going to waste your time and energy, right?
It's basically like I'm going to write them a check for $1,000 and give it to them, and that's it. Because the way I work is I'm going to market the home to the best of my abilities right away. You know, I'm going to be sending out anywhere from 5 to 750 postcards to the surrounding neighborhood. And I try to target other neighborhoods. If it's a larger home, I'll target other areas.
See, that's something I don't think people realize, that, you know, when you sign that contract and you're a listing agent, you're accepting a certain amount of overhead and expense day one.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because otherwise you're not going to sell. Unless you've got a pocket guy ready to buy the house.
Right.
Somebody in your pocket, which I tell you the truth, I sold my condo, and I think, you know, 4 hours later she had the paperwork to sell it. She had it sold before she listed it.
Yeah,
she just didn't tell me that.
My average listing, I'm spending about $1,000 marketing the property.
Yeah. See, this is what my brother-in-law's father was selling this house, and it was worth about $500,000.
Sure.
It's down in West Orange, and beautiful house, mm-hmm. but he wanted $600,000, and the only agent that would take it was a friend of his. And it was a friend of his. That's why I said that's why he's taking it, because any other agent's going to say, why am I going to take that? It's going to set me up for failure. It's going to be a house I can't sell, and it's going to look bad that the people are going to say, well, you couldn't sell that house.
Sure.
And he can't come back and say, well, the seller wanted $100,000 more than it was worth.
Yeah. You know, the conversation at that point would be, you know, it wouldn't just be me completely walking away, you know, because this is my business and how I feed my family. But I'm going to have a conversation. You know, generally speaking, I'm going to be spending about $1,000 in that first 30 days marketing your house. You know, if it's unreasonable, I can't afford to do that.
Right.
You know, so will I take it? Yes. Can I market it to the best of my abilities at that price? I can't. I can't afford to, because then, well, once it's been reduced, I'm going to then have to market it.
So that's something that sellers should know, that you got to talk to the agent and find out what their plan is to market the house. And if you're being unreasonable, expect it to be a little thinner.
Absolutely.
I mean, and I saw that once. I went to Bold Training, K.W. Williams offered Bold Training as a sales course in real estate. And it opened my eyes a lot. I mean, I was in sales, like I said, for 30 years, but I never – real estate to me was, you know, the people opened the door and bought your coffee. Didn't realize all the work that goes in on the sale of a house.
Sure.
All the coordination, all the timing, and when it's done right, it looks easy.
Right.
When it's done ugly, it gets costly to everybody.
Yeah.
So a good agent, you should not even notice what they do. A bad agent is hitting you in the face every time you turn around.
Absolutely.
I think, because every detail becomes a nightmare.
Yep.
You know, you're talking about that. They talk about, like, negotiating your commissions and stuff like that. And people would say, you know, they sit down and they list it and they show you what they're going to do. And they say, well, you want half commission? Well, then you get half of this. Or, you know, you want me to sell the house.
Right. I mean, people have to understand, you know.
So have that real conversation with your agent. It's almost like having a conversation with your priest. You're going to be totally honest with each other, because the goal is to move your house.
Right. What I tell people, you know, usually when I'm talking about this price, they're not my client yet, right? They're interviewing me to see if I'm the right person to sell their house. And, you know, I always tell people, I said, I know what you paid, right? I was able to look that up. I've accessed the MLS. It's all public records. I know what you paid. It's so easy for me to tell you what you want to hear so I can get your business. I tell you get all your money back, or I tell you you're going to make money on it. You know, say you bought in 2005 to 2007, the height of the market. You know, it's very easy for me to tell you that your home is still worth the same as it was then. If you haven't updated it, you know, your house is actually worth drastically less than it was then. And that's a conversation, you know, that I'll have with you. Some of my competitors may go in there and say, oh, yeah, your home is worth exactly what it was because, you know, you finished this one floor. It's not true. Yeah. It's not true. And they're doing that to get the business. Right. You know, it's so easy. You know, I ask people, do you want me to lie to you? If you want me to lie to you, you know, I can. It's just not going to do you any favor.
Well, it's not going to do either any good because you're going to get a black eye because you're going to lose. They're going to break your contract or they're going to leave you as soon as they're done. And they're going to go to somebody else and they're going to sell the house and say, see, they sold it, but they're going to sell it for the price that you said they should sell it for in the beginning.
That's exactly what happens.
And the other thing is I see a lot of these things and I won't mention any names, so let's not. Sure. But these people are guaranteed they'll buy the house if they can't sell it. And now, I thought that was a great deal at first, but then I heard from some people, and I don't know how true it is because I personally didn't try to do
it.
But that you have to list it at the price they say,
mm-hmm.
and you have to agree to certain reductions over time.
Yes.
And then they'll buy it for the price they set. So mm-hmm. basically, if they do their job well and they price it effectively, like you're going to do, they're guaranteed they're going to sell the house because they know it's priced right and it should move.
And if they don't, then they get a really good deal on a house.
Right. So they get a price that's really priced well,
yep.
and they know they can mark it up a little bit and make a little money on it. And,
yep.
and there's really little risk when you're talking about that kind of volume. In
Listen,
a sense.
It sounds great. You know, it sounds great.
To me, it always sounded like one of those things that it sounded too good to be true. It probably is.
Yeah. They will buy it. They will absolutely buy it. It's just not going to be close to the number. You know, that you had in mind.
Well, or it's going to be a realistic number because they're not going to take a house that's overpriced.
No.
They're not going to take a house, like you said, that's 50 grand overpriced because they're not going to get their money back,
right.
no matter what they do then.
Yep.
So that's interesting that you talked about that. And sellers are interesting that way. I mean, I talk to a lot of sellers. I don't do a lot of sellers inspections. Not yet. It's becoming more popular.
It is. And it's a fantastic idea. You know, if you have a seller that you know wants to be proactive and, you know, they don't want to sell a house with, you know, things that are wrong with it, you know, have them do the inspection up front,
right.
You know, don't wait, because the worst thing you could do is, you know, you negotiate a sales price. Maybe it's a little bit less than your client wanted to accept, but they accept it. Then they do the home inspection and realize that, you know, there's a flaw with the house, and they need to make a $10,000 concession. Well, guess what? If they've already accepted a lower price and they, you know, their mortgage didn't have a ton of equity in it, they may not be able to.
Right.
You know, they might
right.
not be able
and
that kills the deal.
And it's the last pin to close is
yep.
when I come in. I'm the last gate holder
Absolutely.
To closure at that point. And if I go in the attic, and many people have never been in their attic.
Sure.
And I go in the attic and it's black and it looks like mold and it tests like mold. And I can't call it mold
right.
legally. I have to call it mold-like material.
Mm-hmm.
And people tell you the truth, there's been a lot of it lately because of the moisture content and the humidity and the rain we've had. And now they have not forced to do a mitigation before close, and
sure.
now it delays closing. So now it costs you another month. Now if you're buying another house, now you're paying two mortgages.
Absolutely.
So people understand that you know, and home inspectors' goal is not to find things wrong with your house. I mean, a good inspector isn't. I love a clean house because
sure.
I have nothing better than writing a report and kicking it out to the employee and saying your house is done right.
Sure. Yeah, I've heard one inspector that, again, I won't say his name, but he almost was bragging that. Of the percent of deals he's able to kill
right.
By uncovering things. You know, that rubbed me the wrong way.
Right.
I mean, listen,
and uncovering is a bad word because if you're uncovering it, then it's hidden damage.
Sure.
Then nobody's guilty.
Sure.
Because if it's if the owner doesn't know about it
right.
and you uncovered it, that's one thing. You know, finding things that are normal things and explaining it to people.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that, you know, my motto is comfort to close.
Sure.
I want you to close
because mm-hmm.
you've already decided to buy the house. You've already spent money on an attorney. You've already spent money doing this. You've already picked out your carpet. I just want to explain it to you so you don't get snake bit. So
yeah.
you don't move in. A young couple says, oh, my God, I move in, but the roof is near the end of life.
Right. And I tell my clients, a good inspector, the way that they should be looking at their job, and hopefully you agree, is making sure that the person, your client, knows exactly what they're buying.
Right.
You know, you are informing them.
Knowledge.
Exactly. And you know what? I do it when I'm walking through the house, but I don't have close to, you know,
no,
I'm not an inspector.
And the one question I get that I always turn and look at the agent when they say, well, you buy this house? Because nobody can answer that question but you and your agent, because...
What if you think it's ugly?
Well, if you're not in the market for a house, right. You have no need.
Right.
So right there, if you have no need, you can't make a buy decision.
Sure.
Then you're being sold.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have no need, you can't buy. If you don't like the, if you don't want to live in the area, what's the difference?
Right.
And I don't know the value of the house.
Right.
And frankly, most houses, I have no idea what the comps are.
Sure. It's not your job.
That's your job.
I wouldn't expect you to.
Right.
And
if the house is worth 600, if the house is in the area selling for 600,000 and they're selling this house at 500,000 and it needs a new roof, okay. Put a new roof on it.
Sounds like a great deal.
Yeah. I mean, my father's house, we sold it 50 grand below market because it had new siding, new roof, new windows.
Sure.
But inside it was 1967, I've said many times.
Yep.
They had a turquoise kitchen. I mean, you know.
I did the same when I purchased our house.
Now,
you know?
I could have put 50 grand in it.
Sure.
But then I would have eliminated half the people because they wouldn't have liked what I did.
Right.
So you know what we decided? I said, I'm not going to put the effort in it. We're going to sell it below market. The person going to buy it is not going to be the couple looking for a turnkey.
Absolutely.
It's going to be the couple that says, I want to put my own kitchen in. Oh, God, I'm going to open up the back deck.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to open concept. I mean, you know, and then they realize they can't because they've got to put 15 beams in the house.
Well, another huge mistake that people do before they sell, and it's usually before they sit down with me, is, you know, they'll tackle a huge financial project in their house. They'll remodel the entire kitchen and sell the house. And I tell them, like, you know, I wish we had the conversation before you did it. It looks beautiful. You made my job easier. You know, I'm definitely going to be able to sell your house easier. You're not going to get dollar for dollar back.
Right.
You're not.
The people who get their dollar for dollar back are the flippers.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yes.
You're buying a house in Lake of Packing for $120,000 from
course.
The bank. You put 80 grand in it, you sell for 290.
Sure.
You can do that.
Oh, without question, yeah. Yeah, I'm talking more about single family homes that are in decent shape around
right.
here, but, you know.
But the kitchen's outdated.
Yeah, they might need some you know what? And I tell people, you know, if you're going to paint the cabinets nicely, that's not a bad idea. But if you're going to pay for all new cabinets in here, put in a new granite countertop, there's nothing that says that people are going to like your choice.
Right. And some people would rather get the 10 grand or the 20 grand
no question
off
asked.
The house
no
and get to put my own kitchen in.
Yeah.
One reason my wife liked this house is she got to put her own kitchen in, her own bathrooms.
Absolutely.
And windows and siding. I mean,
absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
She liked making it her own.
Yeah.
But not everybody wants that. You know, HGTV generation, I think, expects waterfall marble and slides in the backyard in the pool, you know, but then they have a nickel to spend. So.
Right.
and I don't know about you, but I haven't yet to see a $12,000 kitchen in New Jersey.
Yeah.
If somebody can show me a full-blown, you know, bigger than a 12x12 kitchen that was less than $12,000, I'd like to see it.
Yeah,
because
it's a pipe
I've never seen it in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I think my countertops cost like almost 12 grand
sure.
if I break it down. I mean,
mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's interesting that, you know, because I like doing the seller's inspections. I don't do, like I said, we don't do a lot of them. And in New Jersey, it's funny because in some states you can do a seller's inspection, you can do a walkthrough and just talk to the customer, the client. But in New Jersey, home inspectors are regulated. We have to do a full house inspection.
Sure.
If we take a fee, we have to produce a house inspection report. We're still liable for it. Our errors and omissions still cover it. And it also, the only downside I think it happens is if we uncover something that you don't know about, it becomes part of your disclosure.
Yes. Yes.
So,
does.
I mean, you know, we find mold in the attic. You can't put that checkbox, I know of known mold in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Because we found it,
right.
And if you don't, if you lie, you can be held on fraud.
Yeah, I mean that's the worst.
So the only people I say if you're willing to do the work and you're willing, and most people that do a house inspection, their house is beautiful,
right.
And we might find one or two things like
a lot of times it's going to probably be the higher end homes too.
Right, right, and that, those are the ones that the agents are actually recommending it too, because
sure.
you know you got a $500,000 house. The last thing you want is a delay 10 days before close.
Sure.
Because that costs everybody money.
Absolutely.
I did a house in Mendham, you know, and the house was beautiful. It was gorgeous. Go around the back, and I'm looking, and that picture window just didn't look right. The bottom, just the wood just didn't look right. I went up, and I took my awl out and put it right through the window.
Oh.
It was all rotted out, and they had put putty over top of it and painted it recently, mm-hmm. and it just stood out. And it's probably a $4,000 Pella window. And the buyer says, I want the window replaced. And it was a relocation company involved.
Sure.
They wouldn't let her be there when they did it. And she said, bullshit, I don't want the house then. So they finally let her be there. And Pella came, they took the window out, and they were just going to put the window back in. But underneath the window, the whole windowsill was gone. They have to replace it. She says, but I'm not a window guy. I can't do structure.
Right.
But then he siliconed the hell out of it, put the window back in. She says, I want escrow. And they said, no. So now the whole house is going to fall. The deal is going to fall apart. It's a $750,000 house. It's going to fall apart because of a $4,000 window. And you know that girl calls me up and she said, Larry, thank you.
Yep.
And I hated it because you're going to lose a house that you really want for $4,000. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's ridiculous that they could have spent the $5,000 and replaced the whole window and fixed the siding.
Sure.
But you know what? In a way, I feel good that people hire me and they hire me to find that.
Absolutely.
Because it just didn't look
right. You didn't make the decision for her.
No.
You gave her the facts.
And she still could have bought the house, actually. And you know, part of me says, you're going to lose the house you really want. Fix it.
Hey.
You're going to spend $750, put a new window in.
Oh, I hear you.
So there's, you know, but at the same time, it's her right. And since she's paying $750, the house should be right.
Absolutely.
Now, is she paying $400,000 for that house? You know what? Fix the damn window and stop complaining.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's the thing. But, you know, I have agents that look at me sideways when I find something like that. Like, you shouldn't have found that. Well, what? I cannot not find it.
No.
I miss things like that. I do. Because it would have been very easy for me to walk by this and never see that.
Sure.
I don't know what made me, you know, look at it.
Yep.
It's probably because I looked at 40 houses and I've seen enough of them that didn't look right.
Right. And it was probably because they tried to cover it up. And
yeah, and you know, you can't help but because of the relocation company was involved, you don't know whether they did it or the owner did
right,
it.
Right.
The owner's been gone, and the house is selling because it's, you know, guys.
Was there a seller's disclosure on it?
I don't know, but you know what I mean. The seller's disclosure, if they think they repaired it, they don't have to disclose that. I mean, it wasn't like there was an oil tank in the yard, and that's a whole other story.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen more deals come apart because of septics, and I don't mess with the septics. But
you're lucky.
Yeah,
that's the worst part of being a realtor in Hunterdon County.
Oh yeah, I tell you what, nothing worse than when they open that up and I'm doing the house. I'm like, what the hell is that smell?
It's warning would be nice, right?
Well, when the dew's on it, you know. Mm-hmm. I love those guys too. I mean, a lot of them are my friends, but they do a tremendous job.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a shitty job, no kidding.
Literally.
Well, they've heard all the puns, so
I'm sure they have.
You know, you guys are in the shit today, huh? They like look at you like, come on, guys, come up with something original. So let's talk about a little bit about so what's your advice to the new buyer right now? I mean, the market's still good. I see houses still moving. Good houses seem to move very quickly right now.
Yeah, it's a buyer's market. It's turned from the spring. It was much more of a seller's market, you know. Houses were going for a premium. Now it's turned more into a buyer's market. It's softened a little bit for the sellers. Prices have come down a little bit, especially on the higher price range, 650 and up. Those have seen more of a decrease than the others.
Okay.
That being said, it's a really good time to buy. You know, you want to get in before the winter. Winter's not fun to move in, you know, and it's a really good time right now to be having the conversations, you know, to make that next step.
Yeah, I think the homes are big, and forgive me, somebody told me that it's not totally true, but the school session has a lot to do with it. People don't want to move. They want their kids in school before September.
Absolutely.
They don't want to move in once. So you're talking about that Center Hall Colonial four-bedroom is going to move now in July and August faster than it will, say, in September, October.
Oh, without question, yeah. The only people that are going to be listing it, say, November, December, are people that have to, right? You got relocated, you lost your job. Something drastic has changed in your life to make you list because you're not going to get the same amount as you would have a few months before. And that has nothing to do with the market going up or down. That has to do with the time of year.
Right. But yet I was told in Morris County, if you look at the numbers, the houses turn over all the time.
Sure.
And I only say it's
more
familiar. But I did also see, though, that a house between 400 and like 650 or something, average market is like 32 days or something,
sure.
Whereas anything above that is like 54 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's amazing that it jumps that fast.
It does. You know, there's just not as many buyers. You know, that's what it comes down to. There's you know,
one agent told me that even the people that can't afford those houses don't want them anymore.
Sure.
I mean, everybody's looking at, you know, it's almost like the small house syndrome.
That's, smaller is bigger.
They're not looking for that little one, that small house they do on TV.
Right.
But they're not looking for 5,000 square feet anymore. They're happy with the 2,100 square foot house.
Yep, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I mean, it's funny because Lynn and I, my wife and I, and you know, there was a time in our lives where we could afford it, when we looked at the houses. And if you guys remember, in Flemington here, we looked at the lifestyles of the 80s up here. Phil McConkie lived up there at that point. You know, he was playing.
That's
for the
where Jack. I live, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I fought a couple fires up there because I was in the fire company here in Raritan Township. And but I mean, I remember those houses going up, and it's funny because you know, I'm listening to the radio and they're talking about the oldies and they're talking about in the 80s, and I'm thinking, holy shit. Holy crap, the 80s. I mean, are you kidding me? The oldies? I mean, that's not the oldies. But and then I was thinking of the lifestyles of the 80s house. So they were like the newest houses around here. And they were big, beautiful houses. And then my wife and I looked at them. We were living in Concord Ridge here.
Sure.
And I'm glad we didn't buy that. Because I don't want, I mean, I'm, we
you don't
want
to be my neighbor.
I only have 2,200 square feet now, and it's more than enough.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's funny. I'm kind of glad my money didn't go there. I don't know where my money went, because the truth, I still don't have any. But but it didn't go into the house. And maybe I have the equity in the house. I don't know. But either that, I wouldn't have three kids that go to college. But So that's funny that you say that. Okay, we're going to hit a couple commercials, but we're going to be back. The hour's going back really fast, believe it or not. Ben, I mean, I knew it would go fast, but we got a couple things to cover before we wrap up. But let's hit a couple commercials, and then we'll be right back with you. Stay with us here on the Huntington County Chamber Radio Station. This is Larry McAdee from Home Time with Home Team.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Huntington is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Huntington at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Huntington, the voice for mental health in Huntington County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Huntington Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Huntington Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Huntington Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.huntingtonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Huntington County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@huntington-chamber.org. The Huntington County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back with Ben from Weikert here in Flemington. Ben's co-realtor there, Jeannie Murphy, is going to be joining my show, and I'm going to be joining her show because, tell you the truth, guys, it's somewhat of thanks to you guys out there that I'm so busy doing inspections. It's getting hard to do a show every Friday. It takes half a day out of my schedule, which takes money out of my pocket, if you can imagine. So I'm going to be doing it every other weekend on Wednesday from 11 to 12. First week is going to be Jeannie's show. She's going to do the first and the third, and I'm going to do the second and the fourth, and then we'll do a joint show on the fifth week when it happens. I think it's like twice a year. So we'll go from there. Hey, Ben, let's talk about pricing again, because, I mean, if I do have a young crowd out there listening, maximum budgets, how should they plan for buying? Because it's always nice that they have a realistic attitude of what they can afford and what they don't.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I love when clients come to me and they have a pre-approval letter, you know, from a mortgage provider. If they don't have a pre-approval letter, I'm going to send them to get one. First and foremost, you want to know what you can afford. And you also, you want to know what you can afford.
But are you talking about monthly, totally?
Yeah, that's the issue.
I hate when I go to a car deal and they say, well, how much can you afford a month?
Sure.
I say, screw that. Tell me how much the car is.
Right. Well, I want to tell you the exact reverse of that, right? So someone will say, well, I have a pre-approval for $400,000. I said, that's fantastic. You know, what are you comfortable spending a month? And they look at me and they say, oh, I don't know. I said, well, you know, there could be a huge difference in how much you're spending a month on two different houses. They're both $400,000. Let's take a look at it. One house has taxes that are $6,000. Another house has taxes that are $12,000. It's an extra $6,000 a year over 12 months. That's $500 a month. That's going to have an enormous impact on if you can afford that house or not. So what I like to tell people is you have to come up with a number you're comfortable with. You know, I need a few things, right? I need to know how much you're willing to spend on a monthly basis, what your interest rate that you're approved for, and how much money you're going to put down. If I have those three things, I can run the scenario on any house, and then I can take a look before I send it to you and say, look, this is a $400,000 house that you can afford. Well, guess what? if the payment's $300 more than you could afford a month, you can't afford that house, right? And your pre-approval was contingent upon them making certain assumptions. And if the taxes are a lot higher than what they assumed, or there's a homeowner association that has $300-$400 a month, you may not be
approved. I saw some HOAs that were like $900 on a condo. I'm thinking, you know, actually, you know, and it was one of the things, we were looking at trailer parks. I was looking at buying a trailer maybe for my son or something, you know, and but it was, you know, it's not simple HOA because it's, you're paying for the land.
Sure.
But I'm thinking, oh, $60,000 for a trailer, that's a great deal.
Right.
Then it's $1,000 a month to park the damn thing.
Sure. I mean, and what I tell people, especially first-time homebuyers, the worst thing you can do is go look at a house, fall in love with it, and then realize you actually can't afford that house.
Yeah. Reminds me of when I went to look at colleges. My daughter, the financial aid advisor, said, you know, make sure you're looking at colleges that either have the aid or have you have the ability to pay, because there's nothing worse than having your son or daughter and apply, get accepted, and then you can't afford it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, you know, someone not that long ago said, you know, my max budget's $400,000. I said, well, you know, let's give me a number that you can afford monthly. I'm not going to tell you what the number was, but they gave it to me. And, you know, to their surprise, you know, they were able to afford some houses that were $420,000. Yet I found another house that I showed them. You know, I said, I'm not going to show you this to buy. I'm going to show you this to learn. It's $390,000, but it has a $300 a month homeowner association, and the tax of $3,000 more, you could not afford that. And that's $30,000 difference.
And then taxes and HOA fees don't go down.
No. They never go down. They never go down.
You know, it's funny you say that like that, because my father always told me when I bought my first car, when, you know, I got out of college and I had a job and I was going to buy my first car, he says, you got to make sure you love the car and it's worth what you're paying for. And he says, because if you don't love the car and you're paying it, I don't care how much you're paying, you're gonna hate it every month, and it's gonna be drudgery. It's gonna be hard to pay.
Sure,
I think the same thing with the house. I said, make sure you love the house, because if you're stretching to do it, if you love the house and you love the location and it's everything you ever imagined it to be, you'll struggle to pay the payment and you'll be happy doing it.
Absolutely.
And if you're not, then you don't put the money. I find people; those are the people that won't put the money into the house either.
Sure.
So guess what? That house starts depreciating. I mean, it's appreciating in real estate, but it still depreciates too, because if you don't take care of it. You know, certainly the depreciation will take over the appreciation.
Oh, yeah.
Really fast. And I've done a lot of houses that didn't sell for more than they did 3 years ago because people didn't take care of them.
Sure. Yeah, and one number that I like to give people, you know, assuming an average credit score right now, you're going to get an average interest rate where interests are. For every $10,000 more you're spending, you're looking at about $50 to $60 extra a month on your mortgage payments. You know, so when you're looking at that, I say, okay, $30,000, oh, that's $150. $150 a month could be a big difference, but it's not close to what some of these HOAs are, or
right.
Not close to if it's a $4,000 difference in taxes.
Right, right. So it's important, I think, to not lose track of it. The car deals make a living out of saying, oh, it's only $5 more a month, and then by the time you're done, you went in there for a car payment of $300, and you're leaving with $370.
Right.
Because you got oil changes for life, you got tire rotations for life, and you got, you know, rust protection on a car that's never going to rust because you're going to sell it before you ever rust. So you got to be careful. I think you can get sucked into some of those things, but at the same time, I always say, you know, you're looking at a 30-year mortgage, you're going to lose a house over a $5,000 window, say.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, and I tell my clients, you know, well, not to my clients, actually. I tell everyone that's listening out there, you know, if you're working with a realtor, tell them what you're comfortable paying on a monthly basis. If they tell you, well, I can't run it that way, or, you know, go talk to your mortgage advisor about every single house on the market that you might have interest in, it's probably time to find a new realtor.
Yeah, and I got to figure, you could almost figure out the monthly mortgage just by the house sale. You know it in your head. It becomes an average, and it's,
well, you know,
a couple bucks here or there.
I like you to get your pre-approval, because then I know what interest rate you're approved for, right? If I know what you're pre-approved for, I can go online, get into a mortgage calculator, calculate. Very quickly, you know.
Let me ask you, pre-approval also helps you with dealing with the negotiations.
Oh, no question.
I mean, if three people are bidding and two of them are not approved yet and one's already approved and can close in 30 days, who has the advantage?
I won't submit an offer that doesn't have a pre-approval attached to it.
Okay.
I mean, take it back. If it's a cash deal, I'll submit an offer without pre-approval. It'll have a proof of funds.
But that's pre-approval by Benjamins.
Yes. So for them, yes, I will. But if not, you know, and most good agents at least won't accept an offer that doesn't have a pre-approval tied to it.
Okay. But I also understand a pre-approval is not a guarantee either, because some people forget that, oh, yeah, they had that the loan, or they had that credit card, or they had that student loan that they're attached to.
Yep. Or they went out and they got a new car. You know, they decide to get a new car payment after they've been pre-approved, and then they're astonished when, you know, they're no longer approved for the same amount.
Yeah, it's funny. I've heard stories like that more and more, so I guess it happens more often than it does. So if you're looking for a house, the idea there is don't apply for any credit until you're done.
Sure. Yeah, and I mean, I tell my clients that up front, you know. So thankfully, I really haven't ran into the issue personally, but I have plenty of colleagues that, that have run into it quite often.
Yeah. So it's interesting that way, but you got to add up all the costs, guys. Because I mean, and plan on that monthly expenditure. And even if you don't need it initially, put that $100 away for the maintenance.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to have a window that breaks, and I don't care if it's a new house. I mean, I went to we have to go to CU credits like you guys do, and last night it was on historic homes, and it's amazing, you know. You look at these homes, and there's language that I have to add to my contracts that say, you know, based on the age and the condition of this house. I did a house the other day. Literally, it was built in 1800. It's up in Booton on Lincoln Park on the Booton Turnpike. 219 years old.
Yeah. I saw one from the late 1700s.
Yeah. This was crazy. It had trees. I mean, the bark were still on the posts in the basement.
Sure.
But then they also had temporary beams that were, you know, I had to call for a structural engineer because you have to.
Right.
But it was, you know, it was truly amazing that, you know, but as long as you know what you're buying, again, it goes back to what you said is,
yeah.
I looked at the guy, the guy goes, yeah, I know I'm buying a 200-year-old house. I love it. But you know what? Some couples will look at that and say, oh, my God, I got to, you know, there's actually a screw jack in the basement holding up one corner of the house. There's some things that should have been done right. That,
yeah, when you're walking through some of these old homes that haven't been 100% restored, you will see some interesting.
Well, you know, it's funny. Upstairs, they got a brand new kitchen, marble, sure. Waterfall countertops, and, you know, induction range and everything else. You go downstairs, you're like, holy mackerel. I mean, there's spiders in there older than you and I, man.
Oh, yeah. The cave crickets.
Yeah. Oh, cave crickets. Oh, I've talked about those on my show, believe it or not.
I'm sure.
I go into the crawl space, and they're there, and they don't move. And then you hit one, and then they all, like, 1,000 of them jump at once.
Yeah, you know, bugs don't bother me, but cave crickets, not
yeah,
so fond
you know, it's funny.
Them.
The termite guy is afraid of cave crickets, but he's not afraid of anything else. But, you know, I tell you what, I was doing my deck the other day, and this big snake, it was a garden snake, but it had to be, like, 3 feet long. I don't like snakes.
Give me a snake over a cave.
No. You put me in an 18-inch crawl space with a snake, I scream like a little girl. You would think that the fourth grade girl is in there getting bitten. Oh, shoot. It's funny, guys. Be careful out there with the heat, too, today. But we're getting there. Wrap up. Ben, maybe you can, you know, we're done, actually. So okay. Maybe we close. Maybe you want to leave some people with something, maybe about Weichert or even about your phone number if you have questions. Hey, Ben's a great young agent here. Maybe guys give him a call. You know, talk to him about a house. I'm sure he's willing to talk to you. So
yeah, you know, I like I said, I love helping people find their new home. But, you know, I really think my biggest value is how I'm going to market your property if you give me the opportunity to sell it. If you allow me to price it right, it's going to sell quickly. And, you know, we're going to have a very happy client at the end. Please, anyone wants to give me a call, I would greatly appreciate it. Area code 908-627-2880. If you want rather email me, it's B as in my first name, Ben, then my last name, Jampel. That's J-A-M as in Michael, P as in Peter, E-L, at Weichert.com.
And they're right over here on South Street. So
yep, right off the circle.
Right off the circle there on South Street. Stop by and, you know, they'll be able to help you with it. You know, you can look online, but nothing beats a good realtor, guys. It'll save you a lot of time and a lot of driving around. So with that, I'm going to say goodbye to Ben because he's got to run out of here. He's got appointments to do and sell some houses, I hope. But thanks, Ben. I appreciate the help being here, and say hello to Jeannie for me.
Will do. Thanks for having me, Larry.
You want to go?
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
It's ironic that I, you know, we have a board here that has the commercials in it, and that's the one I pick just to help me out here because Ben had to leave, and I wanted to just say goodbye to him. So, but I pick one on mental health, something near and dear to my heart, and I don't say it lightly. You know, my son has intellectual disability. He's autistic. He has autism, and he he's my inspiration today. He's a happy kid. He's always smiling, and it's a great day. But I want to wrap up today. I've got to dedicate this one show to my wife, Lynn. It's her birthday yesterday. We're having a picnic this weekend for her family and her father, I guess. We're going to have it. It's going to be a beautiful day Sunday. But, you know, there's something about marrying your best friend. And my wife was my best friend long before I ever dated her. And I have to thank my mother for that because she insisted that I take her to the junior prom. And I've been with her ever since, on and off there for a while. But we didn't get married till after college and everything else. But she truly is my best friend, and she thinks nothing, never thinks twice about telling me like it is and correcting me when I'm wrong and proving me wrong. But I also know she's behind me 150% no matter what I've done. And any success I've had over the years is partly because of her, because she's always been there. And she's been a trooper taking care of my kids. And anybody who's a parent of a child with autism knows what it's like. And the mother bears the burden. And it's something that she never escapes because for 20 years he was with her 24/7 unless he was in program. And she did a great job. And she continues to do it now. She actually counsels and does contract administration for people with disabilities with Medicaid. So happy birthday, Lynn. There's something about it. You know, I crawled into bed last night late because I was working, getting my reports done, and my wife sound asleep, and her hand reached out and grabbed my hand, and she was asleep when she did it. And, you know, I got to tell you, that's the definition of love is we don't have to say it. We don't have to show it. We just know it. And I want to thank her for that because she's allowing me to endeavor in my new venture here and all this. So happy birthday, Lynn. Everybody have a great weekend. Be safe out there because it's hot. Make sure you get your fluids, guys, and stay out of the sun. Use the SPF. The sun is our friend, but also it's our enemy. So be careful out there with the sun. Don't get the burn. Use the SPF and drink lots of fluid. Have a great weekend. You're going to see me in a week and a half or hear me in a week and a half on Wednesday at 11. Not next Wednesday. That's Genie Show, and the following week will be mine. And we'll continue where we're at. I got a structural engineer coming in, so that's interesting. All you people that have questions, email me. lmcentee@hometeam.com. That's lmcentee @hometeam.com. If you have a structural question, you know, you have those posts in the basement that are rusted. Guess what? You need to replace them. I'm going to have a structural engineer coming on. So let me know if you have any questions. We'll bombard him with it and let us get some free advice. So have a great weekend. Thank you for listening, and thanks, everybody. See you soon. Bye.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Ken Cuccinelli, the acting director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, is vowing to fight a federal judge's ruling that blocks the Trump administration's efforts to limit the number of people seeking asylum in America. Cuccinelli sits down with CBN News and discusses the seriousness of our border crisis.
A lot of Americans don't know that our southern border, legal or illegal people coming across, have been turned into a toll booth by the most evil, vicious, awful people in the Western Hemisphere, the drug cartels.
Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross says the second quarter GDP numbers were pretty good in light of Boeing's ongoing problems.
Boeing has been sidelined on the 737 Maxes. That probably took 0.4 of a point off.
The GDP grew at a rate of 2.1%, ahead of the expected 1.8%. This is USA Radio News.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the 2-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get 2 MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 2-pack special, use my promo code USA.
And on Capitol Hill, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler says it's too soon to know if the House will move to impeach President Trump.
We will consider what we have to consider, including whether we should recommend articles of impeachment to the House. That's the job of our committee. We may decide to recommend articles of impeachment at some point. We may not. It remains to be seen.
The House goes on their August recess and will not be in session until September. North Korea has fired 2 short-range missiles into the Sea of Japan, the first such test since the meeting last month between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Gordon Chang is a columnist with the Daily Beast, and he tells Fox News,
"These tests, although they're short-range, John, they are violations of U.N. Security Council resolutions, as were the missiles that were fired off in May by North Korea. And